going to go ahead and get started with our post-race media availabilities. We are now joined by members of the number 45-23-11 team. We've got Billy Scott, the crew chief, and Denny Hamlin, co-owner. Guys, congratulations.
Thank you.
All right, we'll start with you, Billy. You guys led a lot of laps this race. You know, can you talk us through the strategy?
Yeah, we've been talking all year about needing to have some green races and have things just go right and maintain our track position. And, fortunately, we had a great starting position, good pit stall. The pit crew's been performing for us here. We were, heavily dependent on them today to keep our spot when we got up there. But, the first stage was actually pretty rough. We were tight back there in traffic, had to do a lot of adjusting on it, and took every opportunity to do so for the first, 100 laps or so. And then once it got close, he was just marching through there and took the lead on that long green run there in stage two and, basically maintained it ever since.
Awesome. And Denny, first win for a 45 team. What's that mean for the organization as a whole?
Yeah, it's big on a lot of levels. Obviously, Jordan Brand, their very first race, it's huge. I said it when Bubba won last year, how huge it was. This is obviously a big one. And it's one that's like surprising, but not, because I've seen over the last 3 weeks, this team just continue to get better and better and better. And truthfully, I've kind of let them down with what we had on pit road, and we haven't given the drivers honestly a honest chance this year. In a race that track position means everything, they've been outperforming what we've given them on pit road. And so today it all came together. I thought both cars were extremely fast. The 23 was very fast. I was around him all day. Two top 10s and a win, we'll take it.
Awesome. We'll go ahead and open it up for questions. If you have one, please raise your hand, and we'll get a mic over to you. Start with Bob.
Bob Hockris, Fox Sports. For Billy, your team led nine laps coming into today, no more than four laps in a race. And last week, Logano had led 35 laps before, leading a bunch of laps and winning. How is this happening?
I can't speak for everybody else, but in our case, like I said before, we just needed to have clean races. We've had multiple races this year that we've felt we've had top five cars, and in some cases the fastest car throughout different parts of it. It's just needing to get up there and execute correctly and get the track position and keep it. And, like Denny said, it all came together today. We feel like it might be foolish to say so, but we felt like that's been our potential for most of the year. So it's just, like you said, putting things together, definitely improving week to week on just the little things and the details and on that execution. But that's kind of where we've expected to be the whole time.
We'll go to Daniel.
Dale McFadden, frontstretch.com. I got one question for each of you. Billy, like, Kurt had never won here before in the Cup Series, but he'd finished, like, second years ago. What about this track plays to his strengths as a driver?
I think just because it's a racetrack. I've said that about him since I was first around him. There's not a place that he is, you typically think drivers have bad tracks and good tracks and whatever. I think with Kurt, it's just a track, and he's good everywhere and can run good everywhere if he's got, the right circumstances around him. There's no doubt about that. So, yeah, statistically, I mean, obviously he's done this a long time, so he's going to have good races, kind of everywhere throughout his career. But I think any time we give him a car that's capable of it and we get him the track position, he could win anywhere.
And Denny, during the course of a race, how much do you keep tabs on what's happening with your two cars and, concentrating on yourself?
Well, for the first time today, my crew chief said, yeah, you're on your Sunday job, because I was, we have some issues on pit road, and so I noticed right away that 23 had a bad stop on the last stop, and I mentioned something on the radio about it, and he's like, focus in on today, your job today, and, I was giving it my all, and always do, but honestly, I haven't really last year I really didn't keep tabs that much. And even this first part of this year, but I just think over the last 3 weeks, listen, I was pretty hard on a couple of the competition guys and said, you know, we got to get better and we got to get our potential better and control the things we can control. And since then, I think they've just, you know, between Booty and Billy and what they've done, it's just hearing around the shop, the collaboration is just getting better and they're really honing in and getting their setups good. And, you know, it's just it's exciting to see, like, the hard work and how it pays off. And but I don't usually keep a whole lot of tabs, but, you know, one of the funnest things is having a front row seat to those final 25 laps. I mean, it was right there in front of me, and, you know, I'm pushing because I honestly really wanted a 1-2 finish, like, really bad, but my car just wasn't, you know, where it was early in the day, and the track rubbered up, and we just weren't as good. But yeah, that was the funnest part, is seeing it and seeing it live. And, you know, yes, I'm watching it and I'm just, go. And so, like, it's just such a weird feeling. But, you know, I looked at my lap times and I was doing my job. Like, I wasn't letting up at all and getting the most out of the car I could. But you can't help but, you know, be emotional about it. And certainly there's been no win that I've had that has equaled the emotions of this one, for sure.
Any additional questions down here? We'll start there and then back down to Bob.
Hi, Greg Eklund for Kansas Public Radio and NPR. And this is for you, Denny. As the co-owner of a very diversified race team ethnically, what does this victory mean for diversion and diversity with the results, or with the events, I should say, that happened in Buffalo, New York yesterday, and how did that news reach you?
Yeah, I mean, that's a lot of the reason we started this race team, is Michael felt like NASCAR was a platform that didn't maybe always understand his brand. He thought that this is a good way to branch out, the Jordan brand. And obviously they sat on the sidelines for the first year of this team, and I mentioned that in the media. They said, we just want to kind of see how it goes and see how the NASCAR fans, you know, welcome us. And certainly I think that if this is not the number one sold diecast when it comes out, I'll be scratching my head. I'm pretty certain it will be. But the Jordan brand itself, and, you know, we're trying to get to a younger demographic. We're a very, very diverse team. I'm looking at, you know, potential hires right now that we've got on the board. There's England, Brazil, and Israel, like the next three hires. And so we're all over the place right now, and we're trying to make a very diverse team. And certainly it's important to give opportunities to those that never thought racing was a place that they could have a job opportunity. You know, we've seen it on pit road quite a bit. I think that you've seen diversity on pit road. You know, a lot of these college, you know, guys are college D1 athletes. But what about marketing? What about mechanics? Like, you know, I'm on the NASCAR Diversity Council, and, you know, we talk all the time about how can we change this sport from, it starts from the ground roots. It really does. You got to get these kids at Taylor's age, Molly's age, into the racetrack. I don't care if you have to go to their house and give them tickets to get them to the racetrack, to get them interested in our sport, or give them tickets to their local short track, whatever it takes. It's because the field in which we try to hire, we always want the best candidate. But a lot of times they're not trained in what we're looking for. So we have to get them trained super early. That's why we have the Speed Institute at 2311, where we have scholarships. We have internships. And so I'm certainly proud of what we've done and how we've built this team. And you see the diversity we have on our team. It's great. And it shows that there's a lot of capable people of putting race-winning cars on the racetrack, and you don't have to look a certain way to do it. Yeah, it's sad. I mean, you just kind of think of the families and friends, and yeah, just pray for them.
Go in the back and then come down here to Bob, and then we'll go up to the press box.
Hi, Denny. Mick Schaefer, KSHB 41 here in Kansas City. Kurt joked afterward that he didn't want to have to answer to Michael Jordan if he didn't win that race. Curious, have you talked to Mike since the race, or will you hear shortly?
I did. You know, it's awesome because we're actually going down to his golf course for a Monster Energy outing this week. So I'm going to go a night early and just destroy his house if he'll let me, which he probably won't. But yeah, he was, I mean, as you can imagine, just so excited. He was, you know, beyond just the brand itself. I mean, he's been lock, stop, and step with me with everything. I mean, to have the trust and some of the, you know, outlandish decisions and hires that I want to make and how I want to build this team, I mean, I can't do it without his support. And so I just can't thank him, Curtis, and Gene enough for believing in me and my vision. And again, I've said that, you know, I want to build a championship contending team in 5 years. We're at year 1.3. This is really, really early. And I can't emphasize enough, we had to build from the ground up, and we are still continuing to build. And so it's a long process. It's hard to come out here and compete and beat some of these organizations that have been around for 30 years. It's just nearly impossible, obviously.
We'll go to Bob, and then we'll head up to the press box.
Bob, and I'll say this too. Billy was a huge part of this. I recruited Billy. I don't know when my first text to you, it was probably before it should have been, but it was into the last year, and I'm courting him and whatnot, and I'm trying to get him to kind of believe in this, and you know, he's left an organization in RCR, and he, you know, an established organization, one that he had a pretty big role in, and I knew that certainly he had a lot of next gen experience, but when I talked to Kurt about, like, you know, I've got you. I want you regardless. So what's our next step, right? We have to have a crew chief and someone that, you know, manages this team. And you know, Billy was on the very, very short list. And a lot of it was that, you know, his relationship that they had at Stuart Haas, you know, was great. I talked to Billy, and he was like, you know, those were the best years of my career. It really was. And you know, when you got two people that love to work together, that's usually going to be a good combination. So I couldn't do this without Billy and just what he's brought to the team, and not just the 45. I can't emphasize enough that Billy works probably as much on the 23 setup as he does his own. I mean, he's in charge of a group that does the setups and the engineers, and so he's a big part of our success and deserves the accolades that he gets for it.
Bob Hockers, Fox Sports. Denny, did you say that this is the most excited you've been for any win, like even your own?
Emotionally, for sure. I mean, I've been excited for the Daytona 500, but I don't know why this one just feels bigger to me. I think a lot of it is because I watched it live. I think had I been on the other side of the track, you know, and just kind of looked at the pylon, it'd be one thing, but like I had a front row seat to it. And so I don't know. I always, you know, I've kind of got a very tough RBF, and and I don't show my emotion a lot, but I am an emotional person, and I get emotional when, like, I get around the team guys, and you know, I got emotional when I hugged Billy at the pit box. Like, it's just because I see how excited they are, and it's like, and I know how hard they work, and it's like, you know, these people are part of, I mean, this is a family. Inside that small building we're in right now, it is a family. We are all very, very tight, and so the wins just feel bigger for that reason.
All right. Are there questions up in the press box?
We have one question.
Go ahead.
Hey, it's Lee Spencer. Denny, I just wanted to ask you, at one point, Chris Gabehart asked you, what do you need for the car? And you said, just keep me in the game. What do you guys have to do to fix what the hell is going on with the pit crew? You know, and it's not just you. It's really across the board. I know everybody's trying to get used to these pit stops with the new car, but my goodness, I can't imagine what position you could have been in had you not had to come from the back three times.
Yeah, I mean, you never know, honestly. I mean, listen, we had a shot. We got to second behind the 45, and he pulled away from us. So, you know, he was very, very good once he got out front. And, you know, really, when he was third there, I was just thinking that, oh, man, you know, it's going to be very, very tough to get around. But he worked him over. But, I mean, I don't know. I don't want to be negative today. We'll talk about the stuff that we got to fix tomorrow. But certainly it's on our radar. Honestly, that's why I paid attention to where the 23 car's last pit stop was, and I didn't see him on the board anymore. You know, we fundamentally have to just change how we're doing things. That's in my opinion. I don't run that department. I wish I did, but we have to make changes for sure on our approach. My biggest thing is I just don't need Hail Mary passes every down. Like, I'm okay with just running the ball sometimes. And, like, that's how you win races, is, like, you manage your risk. When you've got the fastest car, just keep me in the game. In Dover, I promise you, if the race went green, there would be one car on the lead lap. It was probably going to be mine. And yet we just, you know, we thought we needed an 8.5-second stop while we're leading. And so it's just, that part is very, very frustrating. But I think fundamentally there'll be changes coming, and certainly we saw the 45 team in particular really have some good solid stops. Now, again, they lost the lead on the last stop, but, you know, if this had been 5 weeks ago, I'd pray that they came out in the top 10. So certainly it sucks because I don't control it, but certainly I wish that we could make some changes, and I think we will.
Are there any other questions up in the press box? All right, we'll wrap down here with Dustin.
Dustin Long, NBC Sports. Denny, you talk about this as a long-term project, and certainly in that sense, I'm sure the goals are in step with that, but obviously it's about performing even now. So how do you look at a day like today to get this team's, you know, first win in its 13th race, to get your second win in, what, the last 20-some races for a brand-new organization? As you're looking long game, how do you look at the short term and what this has meant and how it changes your view of the future?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, up until really 3 weeks ago, I really didn't get into the week-by-week performance stuff. You know, I'm more working on long-term plans for these guys, and I don't really bother Billy and Booty too much with, you know, small stuff. Now, I certainly give my input on some small things during our comp meetings and whatnot, but I really, really focus on infrastructure and long-term planning. I leave the competition week to week to Billy and his team and Booty, his team, Dave Rogers and Wheels. And so, you know, I think that this is a – there'll be a time that, you know, this team's got to really focus on, you know, they're going to be in the playoffs, and it's like, all right, well – what now? How do we get to the next round? How do we get to the next round? But certainly, in the grand scheme of things, I said at the beginning of the year, two cars. I'd like to have two cars in the playoffs this year. I think that would be a successful year. We're halfway there.
All righty. We're gonna wrap it up, guys. I know you guys
have... Give it to Bob.
We'll go to Bob and then to Daniel. Daniel did have his hand up, too. So we're done with that, guys. Thanks, Dad.
I can't leave until Kurt's done anyway.
Well, I wanted to ask you about Kurt, because Kurt's running this paint scheme. It's designed, you talk about young people, but he's going to be turned 44. Did you have to convince Michael at all, like, hey, put your brand on a car of a 44-year-old veteran instead of, you know, maybe these kind of one younger hot shoes?
No, because he wins. I mean, fact is, Kurt Busch wins, and it doesn't matter about any previous history at this racetrack. We know when we show up, if we got a fast car, he is capable of winning, and that's what I saw in Kurt Busch. I told him the step one, beyond, before we talk about how we're going to fund it, how we're going to do anything, is I need you to drive it. That's all I care about, is I need you. We'll worry about funding it, we're worried about the crew chief later. I just need to know that you believe in this. And so he did, and listen, he took a risk. I mean, this is a truly new team. I mean, these guys are continuing to hire new people every other week. I mean, it's we're still growing. And so he is such a team player. Everything that I had heard things about Kurt from his peers, and I interviewed three of his previous teammates. I took three of his previous teammates to lunch and just asked and kind of vetted Kurt out, because I'd never really had a close relationship with Kurt, but every single one of them, all three, said he was the best teammate I've ever had. That's your peer review. That's pretty much someone you need to have in your stable, and especially for Bubba, who has never had a teammate before. So might as well put him with the best one that's out there.
All right, last question from Daniel.
Denny, we've seen Trackhouse Racing really come into its own this year, reeling off some wins. Both of your teams started last year. You guys kind of have similar goals, especially when it comes to the diversity side. And Justin Marks says they want to be disruptors in the sport. How do you view Trackhouse Racing, what they're doing? Do you have see them as a measuring stick for where you guys are at any specific point?
Listen, Justin Marks, I talk to him weekly. We have a lot of the same goals and ideas. We were not built the same. They are kicking ass. I am jealous of how they perform each and every week. But, they had 150 employees that they hired overnight, right? And they were already working together. I mean, it's person by person with us, which is why it's going to take 5 years. It really will take, if you want to have multiple cars competing for a championship, this is exciting, but you better be ready for the long game. And that's why, Billy, he probably had an opportunity to move up in his organization that was probably already established. But, we're playing the long game here. And so we are very different organizations on how we were built, but we are very similar in our vision. And I admire Justin, as much as I admire Joe, honestly. I mean, that's truly what I think of him. And, again, that's why I talk to him so regularly, because we are generally, if you look at our cars, you look at the way our teams dress, we're different. We try to be a little bit edgier than the norm. My crew chief even said today, you can tell a Trackhouse car and a 2311 car, because you just, guys, the way you brand things and you're different. And I'm like, that's a huge compliment. So thank you. We love the sport that we're in. We obviously have very similar goals. We are different. We are just a different organization for sure. But again, there's been many times that I'm like, golly, I should have just bought a race team lock, stock, and barrel, because this is a pain in the ass starting from scratch. I don't know why. It just gives me more appreciation and gratitude when on days like this.
All right, gentlemen, thank you for your time. Congratulations.